Brad, let's go through that list of some of your incredible work that you just pointed out to us. And that, of course, would be contact with the spirits of the dead. And explain the necessity for this.
I don't think there is a necessity, George. I think that's where we make a big mistake. I think we all have the ability and the receptivity to receive when we are supposed to. I'm a strong believer in not abusing these gifts. And I think when we delve into, and I don't want people being upset now, so hear me out. When we delve into the occult practices and things like the Ouija board and so forth, until we have the necessary knowledge and discipline and training, and even then it has to be done cautiously. After the Sixth Sense, the movie came out, and the little boy, you know, I see dead people.
Yeah.
George, I had so many parents write to me and ask how their child could see dead people. I said, you don't want. And some of them got angry with me. They really wanted that. Well, then I'll find someone who will teach her. Well, of course you will, just like you can find a dentist to take out a tooth that's good if you really want to do it. But, I mean, this is something we have to be open to when it happens. And we have these shamanistic abilities to receive contact when it is necessary. The Native American practices, you know, where you obtain your spirit guide, but you don't ask that spirit guide until you are exhausted. You've exhausted every possibility, and then you say, well, maybe a little help here, but you still don't. The guide, and again, I've had, again, physical manifestations of my guide, but I never ask. The first time he appeared, it was so physical, so solid that I was going to punch him in the face because he appeared in the bedroom where my family, I mean, my house, my home. But of course, that blow wasn't delivered. I just, like a balloon with the air let out. And then I just heard those words, don't be afraid.
How many people, Brad, though, are afraid? How many people aren't like you?
Yeah. And we are supposed to be afraid. So, yes, the spirits of the dead, I've got some sweet stories in there to begin with. The big question, can the spirits of the dead ever become angels? I think I'll just focus on that for a moment.
Okay, please.
Strictly speaking, angels are angels. In the three monotheistic faiths, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, angels are a creation apart from humankind. However, again, in the book I have some very nice stories of a grandmother in one case coming back and saving a man's life, another where an ancestor, this is a woman of Asian descent, she didn't know the person until who saved her, interacted with her, until she saw in the family scrapbook later on that this was an ancestor. So I think spirits, our family, can become our guides, can not intercede for us, but can be there to lend a helping hand. But the idea that spirits of the dead know more, or that they should be contacted for help in a stock market or wherever, that's how human beings exploit other human beings. And I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, laying a charge on any particular people. The mediums with whom I interacted, you know, have done wonderful things working with the police, helping people through sorrow. And then there are those who, you know, let's face it, this is an area that's wide open for exploitation of other human beings.
When a truck driver calls in, Brad, and says, I fell asleep at the wheel, I woke up to see my father, or maybe they think it was just an angel, reach over and grab the steering wheel and pull me back onto the side of the road so I wouldn't go over the cliff. What's happening there? I mean, one could assume that spirits of the dead have become angels because of that.
Right. They have become guiding spirits. They have become benevolent beings. They are always with us. And we can't be dogmatic. I used to, when people say, my grandfather is my guardian angel, I said, no, it can't be an angel. Angels are a separate race. They're a separate being, separate. And no. I mean, I don't have the right to do that. No one does. The story you just recounted, the hypothetical situation, which is not hypothetical because it's happened to so many people. No, I think the spirits of the dead can serve in the capacity of our guardians and guides.
Why do they interact with us, though? Why don't they simply let him go over the cliff?
Because it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time. Those of us who have had near-death experiences in which the word spread that we were deceased and came back, we feel we have a mission. When I left the body at age 11, George, I saw strange, incredible geometric patterns that seemed to be alive. And at first my reaction was, I don't want to die. I'm too young. The world will not be able to go on without me. And then it was very clear the world would go on. But even more importantly, I saw, other people have said this. I'm not claiming it now. Please. But for a moment, I saw what it's all about. I had this noetic, as it's called, noetic experience where I knew that there was a purpose to history. There's a purpose to life. There's a purpose to being. I knew. I'm not claiming I know now, but I know I knew then for just that infinitesimal, whatever it was.
What do you mean you're claiming you don't know now? I mean, have you changed your mind, your views?
Oh, I can't say. George, I saw the meaning of life, and I'm not talking Monty Python.
Right, right.
And other people who have had that experience had that, but I cannot claim that I have come back with this incredible knowledge. I came back with a mission. I came back with a mission to tell others that life goes on. My first testimony was in my hospital room after the surgery, after I'd been there. A little girl was dying in my room. I was in a Roman Catholic hospital, and the nuns came to me and said, would you talk to their parents? Now, I'm 11 years old. My head is all swathed. I'm complete bandages. Everybody in my little hometown has heard that I'm dead. The sisters asked me if I would, because they sensed I had been there and come back. And they said, will you comfort the mother and father and tell them that their little girl is going to a beautiful place and a greater place? And that's the mission that so many people who have had near-death experiences or interactions with the other side or the other dimension. But what I'm saying is I would be remiss, George, if I came back and felt I had this intimation. I would be setting myself up for the beings of the dark side. Because the moment you think you're invulnerable, that's when you're most vulnerable.